That was the 1977 hit song, Easy, from the Commodores. Question. Who was the lead singer for the Commodores? And, okay, well, I was going to give you a hint. For those who didn't know, you can see him on this TV commercial singing Peyton on Sunday morning, huh? Little takeoff to the song, isn't it? Screens, please. Another one, please. I wasn't much of a fan of the Commodores. I'll have to be right up front and say that. But I did love one of their songs, Once, Twice. Man, we got a lot of Commodore fans in here. How about that? Good for you. For you that may not know, and those who don't want to know, my name is David Blackburn, one of the associate pastors here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can gather together as the people of God in this wonderful facility that you've provided for us. We can laugh, we can sing, we can cry, we can pray. And Lord, we can also study your word and ask you to meet with us and teach us and open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Use my humble lips, Lord God, and use me to be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Question for you today, in what Old Testament books of the Bible do we find the list of the Ten Commandments? Now I said plural, so there are two. Someone said it over here, one of them. Exodus, right, chapter 20. What's the other Old Testament book of the Bible? Close. One over. Deuteronomy, chapter 5. And Cindy took my next question. You paid her. What commandment are we on today? Would you have known that if Cindy wouldn't have told you? Yeah, oh yeah. Many Christians approach this fourth commandment with a little bit of guilt and uneasiness. They sense somehow that Sunday ought to be different, but how it ought to be different and why and who sets the rules? Did you ever live in a city that had blue laws? Anybody? Nobody that old? Do you even know what blue laws are? Wikipedia says this about blue laws. Blue laws are designed to enforce religious standards. These laws kept most stores closed on Sunday, either for all of the day or part of the day. So here's the problem you have. If you needed it on Sunday, guess what? You had to wait till Monday. And boy, wouldn't a lot of us be out of sorts if that was the case today? Fortunately, most blue laws have been dropped, but did you know that Illinois and Missouri and 11 other states operate under blue law prohibitions? These laws state that an automobile may not be purchased or traded on a Sunday. So, you know, if you like it, you can go and kick the tires and look at it. I need another screen, please. You can dream about that new car, but you can't buy it on a Sunday. Years ago, there was a cartoon in the newspapers. Anybody know what a newspaper is? Anybody know what the cartoon section was? Yeah. Well, there was a cartoon by the name of Andy Capp. He was quite a colorful character. And one day, the cartoon depicted this scene. There's a tension, and they didn't know it when they wrote the cartoon, but it depicts the tension Christians feel about this day. Andy's gone fishing, but he's come up empty without any fish to show for it. So on the way back home, he stops by a fish market, and he buys some fresh, whole catfish. And as he's leaving, he turns to the clerk and says, hey, would you throw these catfish to me so I can say I caught them? And then the last frame in the cartoon shows Andy walking home with the fish, and he's saying to himself, I always like to tell the truth on Sunday. That's what the fourth commandment can do to us. It can mess us up. Should I just wait? That's what the fourth commandment can do to us. It can make us say and do funny things, and we end up feeling guilty because we don't know exactly what it means or how it applies to us. I want you to read along with me. It's a lengthy passage of Scripture, but this is where we talked about in Exodus, right? So here we go. Will you read along with me? Promise? It's Sunday. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Take it from here. Very good. God intended the Sabbath to be a source of renewal. It was to be a regular weekly time in which we could get our bearings in life and we could make sure that we were living according to His will for us. Unfortunately, there's been a long history of misunderstanding the fourth commandment. And so, many people have forfeited the benefits that God intended that this day would bring to them. All this misunderstanding began with the first people to receive this commandment, the ancient Jewish people. They took the Sabbath and they put so much emphasis on not working that the day became a day of burden and not a day of blessing as God intended. They came up with a list of 1,521 things or works that could not be done on the Sabbath. 1,521. For instance, a woman was forbidden to look in a mirror on the Sabbath lest she see a gray hair, heaven forbid, and she would pluck it out. For this would be the work of shearing, like shearing sheep. Now, ladies, I'm glad you were able to look in the mirror this morning because you all look so nice and every hair is in place. Aren't you glad, guys? Yeah. Another one of those crazy laws, you could dip a radish in salt, and I like to take a fresh radish, and maybe some of you do that too. Dip a radish in salt on the Sabbath. But you had to eat it quickly because if you didn't eat it quickly, it would begin to pickle and this would be work. I'm not making this up, okay? If a flea bit you on the Sabbath around the ankle or wherever else, you couldn't swat it away because that would be fighting. Who wants to fight a flea? And fighting was forbidden on the Sabbath. No food could be cooked on the Sabbath. Sorry, guys. In fact, the hot coals from their oven area had to be removed from the cooking area before the Sabbath, just in case a person might be tempted to prepare a meal. On the Sabbath, it was forbidden to tie a knot, to light a fire, to move a lamp, to go on a journey longer than 3/4 of a mile, which was known, and you'll read it sometimes in the Bible, as a Sabbath's day journey. Even healing was forbidden on this day. If someone got ill or they got injured, steps could be taken to kind of stabilize them and keep them from getting worse, but it wasn't permitted to do something that would cure them or make them better. In Luke 13, we read this. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." So we have this day that God designed to protect the health and the welfare of His people, and it becomes a day of just a list of don't do these things, a list of prohibitions. Instead of providing the rest and renewal that they needed, it became the most burdensome day of the week for them. Jesus pointed out how ridiculous the Jews' misinterpretation of this commandment had become. He had just healed a woman who had been oppressed by a demon for 18 years, and the official at the synagogue criticized him because he did the miracle on the Sabbath. Listen to what Jesus said. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" In reading that, I can see that Jesus was ticked off. And he was telling them they had distorted the purpose of this day. So much so that the animals received better treatment than the people. So the ancient Jewish people greatly misunderstood this commandment. But before I can rush into criticizing them, and you can rush into criticizing them, we must remember that Christians down through the ages have also misunderstood and misinterpreted this commandment. Over the years, we've also been known to make Sunday into a day of burden and misery, a day to be solemn and serious, a day without laughter and joy and fun. I read of an incident that took place many years ago in New England in the early years of our nation's history. A sea captain had been out to sea for some 2 years, and he was finally returning home. And his wife got the news, and she became so elated at his arrival that she ran from the house to where his ship was docked, and she charged up the gangplank, and she hugged and kissed her husband after 2 long years. She was promptly taken and thrown in jail because, you see, what she was doing was on a Sunday. Throughout history, some believers have falsely misinterpreted this commandment to read something like this: "You shall be miserable on the Lord's day." Now, at the other extreme, many of us have made this day just like any other day. I do remember when stores were closed on a Sunday. And when they started to open up then in the afternoon, which allowed people to attend church in the morning and then do the afternoon business. Today in most communities in America, Sunday has become a day just like any other day of the week. A day to go to the mall. A day to work in the yard. A day to pack the stadium when the Rams used to play here. Well, they never did pack the stadium, did they? A day to catch up on any household chores that you didn't get done on Thursday or Friday. One writer put it this way: "Our great-grandparents called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandparents called it the Sabbath. Our parents called it Sunday, and we call it the weekend." Another issue related to the way this command has been misunderstood has to do with disagreements over when the Lord's Day should be observed. Many Protestants and Catholics set apart Sunday as the Lord's Day. But there are a few religious groups and the Jews who set aside Saturday. These groups believe in the seventh day of the week, Saturday is the Sabbath or the day given to the Lord. Most Christians are like us here at Faith Fellowship in that we worship on Sunday in celebration of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. I can't read that fast. I wish I could. Came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." The day after the Sabbath, this takes place. Scripture records that the early church first adopted this practice of worshiping on the first day of the week, Sunday, instead of the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. Now, arguing about which day of the week to set aside to worship is really pointless. In Romans chapter 14, Paul writes to believers who were engaged in the dispute over which day should be the Lord's day. Paul says this, "One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord." Paul is saying that which day is the day is not the point. It's who we worship on that day that really matters. For the Christian, every day is Sunday because all 7 days belong to the Lord. Stop just for a moment. You know, I hope that the people who attend Faith Fellowship Church are not just Sunday Christians. Amen? So whether it's Saturday or Sunday, just be sure that when you worship, it's the Lord you are worshiping and not the day itself, and you're not fighting over that day. As I said earlier, from the beginning and continuing down through time, there's been a great deal of confusion and misunderstanding when it comes to this commandment concerning the Sabbath. So this morning I want us to try and deal with 3 misconceptions about what Exodus 20 verses 7 and 8 really says. The first misconception is this. The focus in that passage of Scripture is not on worship. Oh, he's a heretic. Throw him out. Stay with me, please. A close look at the fourth commandment shows that it actually focuses more on the subjects of work and rest than it does on worship. In fact, we're not going to go back, but you read it today for yourself. Worship is not even mentioned in these verses. God does say to keep this day holy, but in this context, that word holy means to set it apart and make it different from the other 6 days a week. And the way it was to be different is that it was to be a day of rest. The Sabbath eventually became a day of worship in the religious life of Israel, but this commandment does not specifically refer to worship. What God really commands in these verses is that we have a proper balance of rest and work in our life. Do you feel like the gremlins are here today? Just because of that, it's, you know, it's like I'm going to have to stay here till at least noon to get it done. The word Sabbath, and not Black Sabbath, okay? All you people out there, I'm saying Sabbath, you're thinking about your favorite rock group. The word Sabbath literally means rest or cease labor. And in this fourth commandment, God reminds us to set apart one day in seven for this purpose, to rest. Now, why would God make this reminder one of the Ten Commandments and put it right alongside laws forbidding murder or adultery? Why would our rest be such a big deal to Him? Well, He's our designer. He's the one who made us. And God knows that rest is that important for us. He has built us with a need to stop and rest in life. And when we don't rest, and when we try to go nonstop, 24/7, day after day, week after week, things will begin to break down in our lives. The breakdown could be physical. Remind me to look for the scripture on this side, okay? This is fun. Are you having fun? I hope you are. Because if you're not, I'm going to go back there and cry. Now, the breakdown could be a physical thing. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. God loves us too much to allow any of those things to happen to us. And so He's given us this fourth commandment to help us. God knows us, and He created us to require a regular time to rest and to reflect and to reconnect with Him. David wrote this. No, I'm not that old that I could write this, okay? Oh Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. Is that frightening for some of you? You know when I sit or stand. When far away, You know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to what? Stop and rest. Every moment, You know where I am. Study was done a few years back by the U.S. Army, in which they observed soldiers in various conditions to determine when they achieved the maximum level of productive output. And the Army discovered that after seven consecutive days of work, each soldier's performance began to drop off and tail away. But the most interesting discovery the Army made was that even though the soldier's performance level was dropping off, the soldiers themselves were unaware of it. They felt they were still at a certain standard of productivity. They thought they were operating at a high level. And maybe this is why many of us think we don't need rest, or we don't take a break every once in a while, because we're still operating at that level. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you see that during His 3 years of public ministry, the Son of God took time to rest. He took time to be alone. And He always observed the Sabbath in the synagogue. So the first thing this commandment contains is God's reminder that we have a built-in need to rest in life. But the commandment also contains a command to work. And we've read it, and this part of the passage of Scripture is often ignored altogether, even though God plainly says, and you read it with me, 6 days you shall labor. This should remind us that God condemns laziness and idleness, but He honors constructive work. God created us in such a way that work has the potential to bring us pleasure and a unique sense of fulfillment. And I believe that. Sadly, we tend to downplay that truth in our society. When people win the lottery, they're often asked, well, what are you going to do now? And I don't know how many times I've heard the same spiel. Well, I'm going to, you know, pay off all my debts. That's a good thing. I'm going to pay off the mortgage. That's a good thing. I'm going to buy a car, a new car, but not on Sunday, right? Then they say, I'm never going to work another day in my life. You see, our culture sees work as a necessary evil. People endure the five-day work week to support the activities of the workless weekend. Believing that God inflicted labor on human beings as a punishment for disobedience in the garden. We see work as a sentence to be served or a curse to be endured for as long as necessary. We fail to see that human labor was part of the picture in the Garden of Eden. Go back and read it for yourself. Before Adam and Eve even sinned, God had laid out a work program for them. And we too easily forget that meaningful work is actually a gift from God. King Solomon wrote this, smartest man who ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. This is what I've observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Work is a blessing and a gift from God. And He lovingly commands us to find satisfaction in it. The fourth commandment doesn't really deal with the subject of worship, but rather with our need to have a proper balance in life of work and rest. And this balance makes it possible for us to enjoy the life as God intended. When you look down at Exodus 20, verses 7 and 8, you can correct another misunderstanding about this commandment. You come to see that it has more to do with maintaining our relationship with God than it does a religious practice. You need to remember that this commandment comes in the context of the first four commandments, all of which concern our relationship to God. The last six, which we'll see in coming weeks from Pastor Damon, have to do with our relationship with other people. The first four are relationship with God. The last six are relationship with other people. Commandment number one, as you remember, says we must put Him, what? First in our lives. Commandment number two says we must never allow anything or anyone to interfere with our relationship with Him. Commandment number three says we must be careful to never dishonor His name. And now, He gives us His fourth command that we have one day each week to make sure that every aspect of our relationship with God is tracking the way it should, and that He really is first, and that there are no other gods in our lives, and that we are in fact honoring His name. God intended that we spend some time of this day relating to Him and asking questions such as this. God, are all the things I'm involved in good in Your sight? Another question you should be asking yourself, am I doing things in my own strength or in the Lord's strength? Am I hearing His voice and following His leading? Am I leaning on His wisdom and the wisdom that comes from His Word instead of my own wisdom? Now, I believe personally the best place to answer questions like these is in the context of a worship service. On your Sabbath day, whether that happens to be Saturday or Sunday. It's to be a Sabbath to the Lord. On this day, we need to accept Jesus' invitation when he said this to his disciples. Read it with me. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The Commodores would say, easy like Sunday morning. When you look at the Ten Commandments, you see that the fourth commandment is the longest of them all. And perhaps that's so we can see just how serious God is about these matters. He knows we need this day because without it, our relationship with Him deteriorates. There's another thing we need to know to correct our misunderstanding about this commandment. It applies to all 7 days of the week, not just one. The setting aside of one day for God was an actuality, a reminder that each day of the week belongs to God, not just the seventh day. In his commentary on Exodus chapter 20, a Bible scholar refers to the Old Testament practice of, quote, the part standing for the whole. The part standing for the whole. According to this philosophy, offering the first fruits up to the Lord was a way of saying that the entire harvest was dedicated to God. In dedicating that firstborn child to the Lord, it symbolically demonstrated that all future children were considered to be consecrated to the Lord. In giving the first tenth of our income to God, we are symbolizing the fact that all of our money and all of our material possessions belong to Him. In like manner, observing the Sabbath day is a recognition that all of our days and all of our times are the Lord's and not just the seventh day. The Apostle Paul taught that the Christian who is really strong in the faith will require no special holy days at all, but will regard all days as holy. I found this quote that I truly believe. It says, anybody can observe the Sabbath, but making it holy takes the rest of the week. Now let me repeat that because you got to let it filter. Anybody can observe the Sabbath, but making the Sabbath holy takes the rest of the week. We can't set aside one day for God and then try to live our lives without Him the other six. I know many people who try that. To do so would to break this fourth commandment. This one day, this Sabbath day, reminds us that our relationship with God is not just a one day a week deal. It's an everyday deal. And imagine what a difference in our lives a proper understanding of this one day, this Sabbath day, can make. This special day can remind us that our life is designed to work best and be most enjoyable when we maintain a proper balance of physical rest and meaningful labor. It also gives us a chance to deepen our relationship with God through a worship experience that glorifies and exalts His Son, Jesus Christ. And finally, this day provides an opportunity to allow God to look into our lives, look into our hearts, and show us exactly what course changes we need to make in order to keep following His will for our lives. This Sabbath day reminds us that God wants a 24/7 relationship with you and me. We need to see the fourth commandment as God's gift to us in the form of this special day. This is a special day. Jesus said as much when he said this. He said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. This is the Lord's day. It's a special day. It's not just NFL Sunday. It's not just going out to eat. That's all fine and dandy, but this is a special day. This is the Sabbath day. We've sung His praises. Thank God for our worship band. Amen? Amen. We've sung His praises. And we've studied His Word when the screens worked. And what has all this allowed you to see this morning when it comes to your life? On this Lord's Day, do you need to ask yourself, am I really trusting God with all of my life? Am I relaxing regularly and letting God love me and renew me as only He can? Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How about it this morning, Faith Fellowship? Do you need to accept Jesus' invitation and find rest in Him? Do you need to find peace and forgiveness in Him today? Jesus said, if you do your part, and you come, and you keep this day holy, He will do His part, and He will refresh and renew you by His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we come this morning. Our hearts are open to hear from You. Holy Spirit, there are many in this place that need a word from You. They've had a rough week. They've heard some terrible news. They've experienced some things that they want to forget. And we've come on this Sabbath Lord's Day to this sanctuary. This place where we have intentions to meet with God. And Lord, we know You're here because You promised where two or three would gather in Your name, that You would be here. So we meet that requirement this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. Calm us down. Those who are working too hard, Lord, help them to rest. Help them to be renewed in You. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our need to try to stay up with the Joneses, our need to have more material things than we could ever use in this life. And at the consequence of that so-called need, we have forgotten You and we've neglected You, and we're rarely in church, we're rarely with other Christians. Lord, forgive us. This is where we find our rest. This is where we find our renewal. In You. Lord, I pray a rich blessing on the people of God who make up this church. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.